to Human to Human. I'm so excited to have you guys here. I am here with the band Ivy Tide, and you guys are an indie band founded in Montreal. And so you guys got recently signed with Rain Music Group, a label of Sony Music, which is really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I found you guys on TikTok and just was obsessed with your songs. They're so good. They're so chill and just such a great thing to listen to, really, when you're doing anything, I think. So I'm excited to have you here to ask you some questions. Did you guys want to each say your name and what part of the band, like what role you play? And if you want to start, Nathan, you can go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, you just said it. My name's Nathan. So I'm the, I guess, lead singer. Also play a little bit of rhythm guitar in the band. This is...
I'm Jamie. I play guitar as well in the band. And I'm involved in the production of the music.
My name's Kyle, and I play bass in the band.
Sweet.
Also awesome. A videographer over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do a lot of the video work. It's a little passion I'm trying to build on, so cool.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I was watching some of your YouTube videos before we jumped on the call, and I love the video work. It's great. You have some really good like photos of the band, too. You have some quality band pics.
Yeah, well, we've done a lot of work with Montreal photographers. We've had an awesome selection, too. We'll probably shout out some people, you know, Sean, Grace.
Real good people. For sure. Adam.
Adam, for sure.
Adam, amazing. Yeah, film. Adam Nutby, film photos.
So good.
That's awesome. I think it's so important when I made a TikTok recently that was shouting out some good guy bands that I really like that haven't blown up yet. And the key is having some good photos too. One of my friends has a band and I'm like, dude, you got to up your photo game. Like, come on.
Yeah, visual is huge, especially now. I mean, you don't have as much of an opportunity to play for people, right? So like the visual aspect online is really what people get a first impression of. It's huge.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so first I kind of want to dive into how you guys found each other, how you became friends and started Ivy Tide.
First of all, we're definitely not friends, so don't make any assumptions. No, these are the boys.
Acquaintances.
Big love. Acquaintances. Sure.
Yeah, it all started, so it was kind of like a random thing. I always like did music when I was growing up. Like I would sing it at home in the shower as most people do. But like I never like showed anyone except one friend in high school that I showed my music to. And he really pushed me to like go record it properly and do something about it. So he actually recommended I go to this small studio in the West Island in Montreal. And the studio was like, it wasn't something that you could find online or anything. They didn't have a website. It was just like, he knew it from someone he worked with. It was someone he worked with, like their brother, and they had a distinct connection. So I just had like an address. So I set up a meeting, went to the studio, and it was this guy. This guy owned the studio. So that's how we first met.
Yeah, yeah.
And we worked on like a solo project. Like I had some songs that I wanted to record like proper versions of them. So we recorded like an entire EP together. And then we just liked working together and there was like some chemistry there. So we started off like this new project together. Since then, it's been chemistry.
Chemistry central.
Yeah.
You just felt it as soon as you started making music together. You were like, oh, we vibe. This
oh,
is-
yeah. We had like the same musical tastes. Yeah. And it was just easy to make songs together.
For sure, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so then Kyle comes into the picture. When?
What happened was Jamie and they had an idea for a show and they were going to be doing songs from Nate's EP live. It was this church show that they had gotten.
Oh my God.
It was like a volunteer, like just like a show that someone was like, hey, I think you make music, right? Do you want to do this? And it was our first time ever performing in front of people. So we were like, sure. Let's do
Jamie,
it.
Jamie messaged me. He said, are you free to practice this guy, Nathan? We have a small thing going. I said, sure. I met up with
him. Wait, how do you guys know each other?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So Kyle and I actually played in like a pop punk band since we were like 16, 17. Yeah, we were really bad. And so like when Nate was planning to do like a show for his EP release that we'd worked on at the studio, I was like trying to find people to play. I was like, yo, my guy Kyle can rip some pop punk bass. But he also like digs this kind of music too, like this more like indie pop kind of vibe. Yeah. And so yeah, Kyle came through, and then that's how we got started all together.
Yeah. So we did that show, and then
it wasn't just a phase.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had a few more, and I think the first true song like in this style we did was a cover of Redbone and "This Became My Vibe" by Kendrick.
Yeah,
true.
Whoa.
We recorded that in the hallway of the old studio.
Yeah, of the old studio.
There's a video.
And then
there's a video on YouTube. Everyone can go check out.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. We all look so different and young, but there's a lot. Yeah.
It's true. It's like 3 years ago, I think now. But then the day we did that video, in between takes, Jamie and Nathan were like, yo, come to the production room. Like, we have a song we want to show you, see if you're down for this style of music. So they showed me Shadows. It was the first demo of Shadows.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, damn.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is what I want to try out. Let's do it. And then from there, it was just a different genre. It went into this this amazing, what Ivy Tide is now, you know.
Mm-hmm. It took us a while to, like, find our sound, though,
for sure.
I feel like.
Yeah.
We had to, like, experiment a little. We had some, like, more folk stuff to start with.
Yeah, true.
We had some more experimental psychedelic stuff.
Yeah, some bluesy stuff too.
Yeah, some.
Yeah,
some
true.
Very swingy, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. And so, yeah, I was going to ask, like, what's your creative process like? So it took you kind of a while to find your sound. And now, typically, what is it like for when you create a song?
It usually starts with some demo coming from someone at some point. Like, sometimes it'll be me, like, with an acoustic guitar, I'll record, like, a voice memo of some idea on my phone. Then I'll bring it to Jamie because we have, like, the studio at his place. And then we'll build off of that little demo. Sometimes Jamie will make, like, a fire beat. He'll send that over. Sometimes it'll be, like, Kyle and I, how we made Red. We were just, like, in Kyle's basement, like, just writing from scratch. So it really depends on the type of song, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. A certain amount of collaboration is always big with most of the songs. We all have an input if there's anything that we like that stands out or have an idea somewhere along the road. The floor is always open, which is great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So do you all sort of contribute in some way? And sometimes like one person will get an idea or a lyric or a beat and then you'll go from there.
Yeah. Exactly. And one thing we've been trying to do more of lately is connect with other local musicians.
True.
And try and collaborate with them. Even if it's not like a full like, oh, feature on my song, just getting another musician's point of view and perspective on the song will help for sure. So any type of collaboration, we're trying to really kind of like take that to the next level there.
For sure. Because there's all these people in Montreal whose music we love and like we've been reaching out, they've been reaching out, and it's been awesome to like work with people who like we think at least like make music at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to kind of get to be able to work with them to like hear what they would think to put on like a certain beat or to think of lyrics for a certain song, like I don't know, that's been pretty cool that we've been doing recently.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so smart too. And I feel like the music scene, like even just, I went to an arts high school, so I feel lucky to be pretty exposed to people who have been really creative, and even thinking of people I know who go to McGill and go to Concordia and just how talented and creative everybody is. I feel like that's the best way to keep improving and keep building your network and being able to just like get your names out there too and create really good work.
We're all for like supporting each other.
Yeah.
100%.
A lot of the time there's like competition, but like they're like people can like and listen to multiple artists. Like
yeah It's so true. I was just having a conversation with my friend Ethan, who goes to Concordia, and he's a practicing artist. And he was making he has a podcast, and he was making a podcast all about how important it is to support other artists. And it doesn't make sense when someone's like, "Yo, I love what you're doing. It inspired me to like create my own podcast or create my own band." It's so dumb to like have competition between that, because when everybody comes together to support each other, like you can just make stuff that much better, and it's so fun.
And if someone else wins, you're winning also.
Yeah.
So like it's only a good thing.
Exactly. It brings up everybody when someone does well. Yeah, it's the best. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love to hear that. And I'm curious too, kind of who you've already collaborated with, or like kind of inspirations for the band and people you'd want to collaborate with in the future.
Okay. We can list you some of the boys, some of the homies. Edwin Raphael.
Yeah.
Edwin's one of our great inspirations.
He's an amazing indie folk musician, super talented writer and singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
and he randomly came to one of our shows, and that was just like, and he was just like, "Yo, like I want to help like mentor you guys." And then he invited us to play at like a show at his house. We had it was really cool. He had like all these like up and coming artists there performing, and it was just like a really like positive environment. Mm-hmm.
And there we met a bunch of other local musicians. Yeah. Now we're good friends with Junie,
Oscar,
Oscar Lewis. Some of the boys from Fleece are
KFPU,
amazing. There's so many good like Montreal.
Yeah, there really are.
And there's still more that we would love to work with too.
For sure.
So
that's amazing. I love that. That's so good to hear. And I love to give people some shout outs too, for sure. I'm curious, like when you're creating a song or you're working on some sort of music, what kind of challenges you run into, or what are the things that you, if you ever like struggle with something?
Well, COVID.
There's a lot of the times we'll like make something, we'll think it's like the best thing we ever made. Mm-hmm. And then we listen to it like the next day or like a few days after. And we're like, what were we thinking? This is garbage. Like this is trash. Or I think, a challenge that we've been able to overcome, because with that, sometimes we'll just like realize that maybe the song's not as good as we thought, or maybe we'll be able to work it out. But sometimes we'll start a song like in like, let's say more of like a darker kind of like vibe, and maybe it's a bit slower. And then kind of after working on it a bit, we're like, oh, maybe we should actually try it like faster and a bit more poppy. And so that's kind of like, I guess, with like our current, our like next upcoming song, that was one of the things we did with that.
Mm-hmm. I also find what we tend to do, which kind of like is a challenge for us, is that we just listen to the song too much that our perspective on the song is biased. It's totally biased by how many times we've listened to it. So we might not like it as much anymore because there's no like new kind of like this new
thing. Yeah.
Sure.
It doesn't hit the same way it would if you heard it for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
So we don't know if anything's good anymore.
You get to the point where you listen to it so much, you're like, I just can't even like hear what it sounds like anymore. Yeah. I don't even know.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened with Text Me.
True. Yeah.
Which brings in a huge bonus for the collaboration aspect too, because you have people that you value their opinions, that come and listen to something you might be stale with, and they think, oh, this part's great, so like why do you not like it anymore?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Yeah. That's crazy. It's like, I feel like that's so similar with so many things. Like I used to do photography, and once I would edit something for so long, I'd be like, I hate every part of it. I can't even look at it anymore. And it's insane that like sometimes you'll make a song, you'll think it's incredible, you're obsessed, and then you give it a few days, you come back and you're like, oh, never mind. Like what was happening here? I feel like with that process, it just shows how much like space from it can be helpful when you like listen to it over and over and you're like, okay, we need to walk away and come back and you can hear it differently.
Yeah. One time we wrote we had a really, really cool chorus that for it was a demo, it was just a chorus. And we were like, okay, we need to make this a song. How are we going to make this a song? So we tried writing a verse. We tried adding like a bridge, all the other parts except the chorus. What ended up happening is we didn't use the chorus. So we used everything else except the chorus for that song.
And you started it with the chorus?
Oh, it's so true.
Calling.
Yeah, dude, that texting with Colin. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
So different. And it was for almost a year ago we had the chorus. And then we were like, oh, let's make a full song out of this. And we scrapped the original idea, but everything that was inspired from it was.
That's crazy. I feel like it's so important then to be so adaptable in the process and let it take the course it needs to take, because I'm sure songs turn out completely different than probably how you expect at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. And it's always scary because you're like, is this song going the right direction? I want to make sure it's going in the best like version of itself that it can be. But it's hard to know that unless you do every single version of the song. And you just can't do that.
For sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You gotta choose at some point.
Yeah, I'm curious like how your friendships also have evolved since you started the band, and if you'll get in disagreements while you're creating and you know, you have different opinions.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we end up like arguing over stuff, but I don't know.
I think it's a good thing though.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to like have that open kind of like discussion, and you should be able to justify why you think this part is better this way than another way.
What is great is even though we've had disagreements for certain things, it's never been like a huge flare up that's caused, you know, rifts in some way. Mm-hmm. It's always just a matter of like people speaking their minds. Plus we all understand like how people work. Like we've all taken some form of psychology courses. So it's really interesting. Like we're able to resolve conflicts and hear each other out without having any bullshit get in the way, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We all want the same thing. Yeah. We all want
the best song. The goal is always the same.
Yeah. There's no like ego complexes to get in the way either, which, you know, can happen with fans. You hear about it all the time. So yeah.
That makes sense. Well, that's awesome. That sounds like you have like a good system going. And especially because you guys came together because you had such similar vibes and just had, there was chemistry there. So it's awesome that your creative process, it sounds like a fun time and a fun experience.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Really, really good acquaintances.
Oh, that's so funny. What do you find the most fulfilling for you guys as a band when you're making music and creating songs?
Oh,
most fulfilling. Well, the live aspect was always very fulfilling.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been such a while.
So sad.
It's been a while since we felt it.
I was going to say that must be a huge challenge with the pandemic, is not getting a chance to go live and have that feeling.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I did like a live stream for our last release, just like an Instagram live. And it was so weird because there's no one like in front of me. So I'm just like, I'm talking to no one. So it was just like completely different from like a real show.
Yeah.
But we got to get a little more used to that, I guess.
For sure. It's still, I think it's still cool, at least watching the live stream, to be like, oh my God, there's actually people watching and there's people like commenting.
For
like,
sure.
And it's cute, but it's supposed to be so weird performing to like an empty room.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be back to normal at some point soon, because it's true, we've really been missing that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially I feel like our like there's been more people reaching out telling us like and engaging with us, telling us they dig the music. And so we're really just hoping to get back to that soon, so we can like actually meet some of these people, play a show like in front of real humans, and get this like, get a real feeling happening again.
It must be hard to absorb really that there's people listening and enjoying it when it's just messages or numbers on the streaming platforms, because you're like, okay, this is good and we should be excited, but like these are real humans and I feel like they're not.
Feedback is a lot when you're playing live, you know. It's a big part of the performance aspect. I think my favorite like feeling was always balancing working on music and having the live component. Like we'd be in the middle of scheduling practices for shows, and like there's a show coming up, but we're also working on things to release, and having to coordinate, schedule practices, go to those practices, make the most of them, and then feel like crunch time before a show.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of last minute, almost adrenaline is so fun. It's great. And then you get to play the show, and usually if it goes well, it's just a great cycle, and it sucks not having it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like band practice, man.
Great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Being with our drummer, you know?
Yeah. Even like pretty recently, I guess in December, before like the world went into, or at least Quebec went into like a crazy intense lockdown, we were preparing to do like a few live like session videos, and we had played together, the three of us. we just had like a backing beat of like a crappy like drum machine thing, and we were playing like a few songs, but we're playing them together with like headphones on, and it was, I don't know, for me it was like the best feeling ever. I was like, oh my god, I miss it.
It
so
was
much.
Just fun. Yeah.
It was so fun.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
By like the third practice, we were covering a Clairo song, and it was so fucking good, man. I wish we could.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, yes. I'm sure it would be so fun. Like I've performed before too, and just the feeling of being on stage, I feel like is just, you can't compare it to anything else. And I'm sure like even like I'm excited to actually see what'll happen when the pandemic's over and you guys have a show. And I feel like more people than I'm sure knew you before the pandemic, also because it's been going on for so long, will come out and be like, it must be insane to have people singing this like words to your songs too.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, we hope so. We hope that's sometime soon.
Yeah.
I was also going to ask about like different venues you've played too. Have you done mostly just in Montreal before the pandemic?
Mostly, yeah. We've done quite a few venues in Montreal. The only other place we've played is really Toronto.
Which
was also nice. But Montreal, we've played quite a few. Like when you were talking about the first time we met Edwin, that was at La Sala Rosa. And I think to this day, I like that venue a lot. It was very in our control in terms of the decoration and the vibe, you know. A few venues pop out, like Casa del Popolo was great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what sucks is that a lot of these places are closing down.
Yeah,
you know, getting no income. So slowly they're all shutting. Crowbar is done, yeah, I think.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about that. All these places going under too. Like thinking about some of them might won't be standing when the pandemic hopefully settles down, which is so sad.
A lot of them are small, you know, like very great, homey indie places.
Yeah. There's also a lot of like venues that we would love to play one day for sure.
Yeah. What are your dream venues?
For me, the ultimate dream, there's this venue in Montreal. It's called Metropolis.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It changed its name to MTELUS, but I refuse to call it MTELUS. It'll forever be called Metropolis. That's like the final goal.
Yeah. Once you're there, good.
That'd be incredible.
There's some like great, like smaller ones too, like Corona, Fairmont.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that'd be good too. Like,
those are all sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A small goal we've always had too is technically it's live, but it's not a concert venue or anything. It's NPR tiny desk concerts.
Oh my god. I think
that's the hardest goal.
It's the hardest goal, but it's still up there. It's like it's this YouTube channel. They have live sessions, they bring in artists, and it's amazing. It's really great.
Yeah, if you do a tiny desk, your life
I think you're doing well.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, what I've really learned doing podcasting is like you never know till you ask. And a lot of people I have reached out to, which I, you know, wouldn't think would reply, have and come back to me quickly too. And so it's cool to think about like the small goals, start to put them in place and be like, oh shit, okay, we need to dream a little bigger here because we got more space to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is awesome. I wanted to ask also each of your favorite songs and why they're your favorites.
Like ever? Favorite songs ever?
Or the ones that you've done, sorry.
Oh, okay. Our favorite songs.
That is so hard.
Released, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That must be like, do you feel like your favorites are usually the ones you're probably like currently working on that aren't out yet?
There's some songs that are like, they're your favorite while you're working on them, you know?
Yeah. I know my favorites. I'll give you mine.
Yeah,
I definitely Text Me When You Get Home is super good, the most recent one. But I also really love Take Me Away from Bloom.
Ooh,
that's good. That's like a deep cut right there.
Honestly,
And I feel like they're quite different. Like Take Me Away is like super acoustic and like mellow. I love like the riff off when you go off singing and stuff, but like Text Me When You Get Home, as soon as I heard it, I was like texting my best friends and was like, yo, listen to this song. And they were like, and then I added to their playlist and it's a good one.
Thank you.
That's great.
I would maybe, they're all like so like so up there.
Yeah.
I really like West Side because it's just about like this Montreal West Island like place that we all three of us grew up.
Yeah.
And it's very like close to home. So it has that that very like comforting personal aspect to it. I'd say that's probably one of the my favorites.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I like that one too. For me, that's
the way it kicks in.
Yeah, true, true. For me, I usually end up like, because I'm mixing the songs, I'm like just listening to them over and over and over for like months. Listening to like the vocal on a loop of like the verse. So I get to the point where I'm like, oh, this next song we're coming, like every newest song at a certain point, I'm like, oh, this is not good. I go like, at least I don't feel an attachment to it anymore. But then once it's out for a bit, I'm like, oh, this is a good song. Oh my God. So the older ones for me maybe are still like that. Like I haven't listened to them in a while. So when I go back, it's like, oh, okay. I really like Late Nights.
Oh yeah.
That was a cool one. And I really like, I'm going to say the songs I haven't listened to as much. Sign Ryden from the last song off of the REP Pardon Our Distance.
Wow.
That song I really like.
Deep, going really
deep. Yeah. But check those songs out, people, if you haven't. But yeah.
Off of Bloom, What You Want is still such a banger to me.
Oh, I like that one too.
Yeah. On My Mind too was a great opener at shows. Wow. But my favorite, my favorite to this day is still Diving. Diving
is
absolutely incredible. I think lyrically, like Nate, great job. As you know,
I wrote those lyrics. Yeah.
The delivery.
The lyrics together. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so. Every time I listen to it, it's the most comforting song I think I've ever been a part of. You know.
Yeah.
Lyrically and emotionally, thematically, it's awesome. So.
Yeah, definitely the most like emotional.
Yeah,
song, I think
you
have.
Sure, yeah.
With like the most minimal but full bodied at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think so nice.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that. And now I'm like, okay, now I need to go listen to them. Now that I know which ones your favorites are. Yeah, and like, how does your music make you feel when you listen back to it, or when you're singing it, or playing and creating it?
Usually, there's like fun memories attributed to making the songs. Mm-hmm. So you'll have little flashbacks and overall happy, you know, to be able to be part of something that's out there forever. People can listen to and take in. It's just an incredible experience, you know, fulfilling.
When we're first making the songs, at least for me, I'm just like hyped. Play it and then the chorus will come in, I'm like, just yo, listen to this. Like I'll just be like really hyped about it. And then when it comes out, I just want like everyone to listen to it, so I'll like hit up my friends and like share it everywhere. It's always like a good feeling.
100%. Yeah
That's awesome. I love that. That's so fun. It sounds like just such a good like time, and you guys just have such a good like vibe as a band and as like individuals. So it seems like it makes so much sense to come together and create.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
I also wanted to ask about like how are you promoting yourselves? I know TikTok has been like a really great way to kind of get your name out there. And what else have you been trying out?
Luckily we got Spotify's been the nicest human beings to us, and they put us on like some pretty cool playlists, which is like a great way for us to reach new fans
for sure.
So that's been really good, just gaining new listeners.
The cover of playlist too, that was a big highlight for us.
Incredible. Sure. We try and do some, every time we have like a big release, we try and do some like advertising for it in some way on all platforms, kind of like get it out there as much as possible. And yeah, we actually just started getting into TikTok. So we didn't know what was there until we actually just like tried it, and really happy to see how great of a source it can be for like upcoming musicians, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I found it's great. It's crazy. Like I'm like, TikTok is helping so many people out just to like get themselves out there, which is awesome. And like, it's such a great way to find really awesome music.
I love that it's just an algorithm. Like,
yeah,
anyone can just, if it's good, it'll do well.
It'll pop off for sure.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it just does it. It's like if you just keep posting, then eventually like one of them just gets out there, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are your biggest inspirations in terms of artists and bands and people that you guys have listened to now or growing up?
That's a good question.
I've always been a massive, massive fan of Claro.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And
that
Frank.
That's a good one.
Frank.
Claro and Frank. They're the
guys
for me.
For sure. Yeah, those are two really good ones. Versace is like the best artist of all time. So congratulations to him for that.
Yeah. From Toronto.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Versace is excellent. I feel like he's like one of the new artists that's somehow making like music that I feel like I've never heard before.
Oh man.
It's like so, so creative, but also so like emotional, and he can do any genre and make it sound like either super hype or super emotional.
Yeah,
and really like tug at your heartstrings. That's like a really good one.
Yeah.
Also, SZA. I mean, she's releasing like a few singles here and there, but hopefully, there's an album coming soon. She's the goat.
Yeah.
in studio a lot, we've listened to many songs by Woozy and Homeshake too.
Oh yeah, still Woozy for sure.
Sweet. And I wanted to ask too before we go, how did you come up with the name Ivy Tide?
Is it you that came up with it?
Yeah.
It was you and Adam.
Me and Adam, yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it was actually because of Frank Ocean.
Oh, true.
So we really like Frank's songs, particular Ivy. And then we were like, how can we combine Ivy with something else so that it sounds good? And we were also like looking up like a bunch of names to make sure it wasn't already a band. So we ended up like Ivy Slide, Ivy Smile, Ivy Ride.
Ivy Smile is my favorite name for our band. Ivory Tile.
Ivy Smile.
So just like a bunch of combinations. And then I ended up like saying like Ivy Tide, like very like quickly, but didn't think twice about it until one of our friends Adam said, oh yo, Ivy Tide, you never said that one before. And then we were just like Ivy Tide, and then we were kind of just picturing like this like wave of like ivy flowers.
Yeah,
it kind of described our sound like perfectly.
Yeah.
In the Bloom era, it was very floral aesthetic.
It was
the mood. Yeah. Delicate.
Yeah, I feel like the name really matches well. I like it a lot. That's awesome. Thank you. So Kyle and I were chatting a bit before we started recording about, I asked if you guys are doing the band full time or if you are doing other stuff as well. And so he kind of talked me through what he's up to.
I studied social work and HR. So now I'm working at a homeless shelter in Montreal doing intervention work. So kind of trying to marry social work, you know, intervention work. It's really interesting. It's night shift. So it's a bit of a different change. I think all of us hope to one day be able to fuel our lives with the band work solely, to put all our energy into that. It would be amazing. Right now we're all juggling something, you know?
Yeah. What about you? Jamie?
Yeah, sure. I'm in grad school right now, studying psychology. So hopefully I'll be a psychologist one day, but I'm also doing like brain research, which I like. So that's what I'm doing for school right now. Yeah.
Nice. I've been also in psychology. I'm finishing up my...
What the hell? I'm in psychology too. That's so funny.
No way.
Let's go. That's
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, sorry, continue though.
Open our own collective practice, the four of us.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, seriously, we'll do music and like counseling, therapy, psychologist work.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I'm just finishing up my my undergrad right now, and then I'm going to be applying to grad school also. And then I'm also working part-time at a nonprofit organization on the side.
Okay, nice. Wow, that's awesome. That's so weird that we have all studied or currently studying psychology.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about your dreams for the band. You guys want to hopefully be able to do it full time and be able to work on that. And that's like the dream.
Yeah. I think like for us, for sure, one of the dreams that's maybe hopefully going to come soon is just playing more shows. But being able to maybe like a dream would be able to like being able to support someone across a tour. Mm. That would be really cool, like playing shows in other places, opening for someone whose music we really dig.
I think back in the day, like my biggest hopes was to be able to travel and play music at some point in my life. Yeah. And the farther we go into this project, the more possible that seems. Mm. Especially now, like when restrictions start lifting, the possibility of traveling and playing and having people who already know of us and will receive us happily, I think is something I'm really looking forward to most. You know,
That's experiences. Amazing. Yeah, I feel like it's cool. The more you create and the more people find out about it, the more you can see how possible that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you each grow up taking any sort of like lessons in music, or was a lot of self-taught?
A mix of both. I started guitar when I was in elementary school, and then I stopped lessons when I got into high school, I think it was. And then bass, it was just self-taught. One of our friends, Jamie, talked about it, had a punk rock band and they needed a bassist. I was like, well, I'll just learn. I'll try it. So that was self-taught.
Kind of cool for us is I taught myself guitar through like YouTube tutorials and all that, so I don't have like a good musical like theory knowledge, but it's actually really cool because Jamie has a really really good music theory knowledge. We compliment each other really well because I'll come up with like things that he wouldn't have never thought of because musically makes kind of no sense, but then he'll pick out like the best parts of that to make it make more sense.
I feel like that's usually how we end up writing. Like they'll come with something and I'm like, how do you ever think of this? I would have never thought of that. It's crazy. Can we just change like this part slightly? And then I'm like, oh, this is nuts. I had like I took guitar lessons like when I was a kid, and then I stopped, and then I took them again for like a bit, and then a bunch of my friends all went to like jazz school like for music, and so they just like, I was like, oh my god, you guys are all insane and amazing. And they would like teach me a few things, and that was helpful for me at least to learn more of the theory stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's important to have like to be just kind of fully openly creative without kind of feeling restricted at all. So I feel like that mix is super helpful for us.
Yeah, that's such an interesting mix and so cool that you would come up with something that Jamie would have never because of like knowing the technical parts of music for sure.
That's hilarious. Good. What I
Nothing great. Yeah, no, I take it. It's good.
That's so funny. All right. So where can people check you out if you want to shout out? Obviously, check out Ivy Tide on Spotify, Apple Music, all that. If you want to shout out some of your social media accounts as well.
Yeah. Instagram, Ivy Tide. TikTok at Ivy Tide. At Ivy Tide, wherever you want.
Yeah, we're probably there.
Yeah. You want to email us, Ivy Tide Official, Gmail.
Yeah. A new single coming very soon.
True. Sure, yeah. Yeah. When is this gonna drop? Because we have a single dropping maybe in February. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Check out Ivy Tide's new single, Talk About It. It's out now on Spotify and all streaming platforms. It is amazing. It's about the pandemic. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Human to Human Pod, at Jessica J. McDonald, and make sure you're social distancing and wearing a mask so we can go to an Ivy Tide show soon. See you next week.